Welcome to the Anito Podcast, episode 4, and we've got a fun episode today. And with our special guest today, with main protagonist, Marcus.
Hello, friends.
And usual guest, well, me as a host, Fruity, David.
Hey.
As Dex Omega, and the one and only Richard.
Yes, I am here once more.
Can you believe we've been doing this for four months?
At least for a little while more.
Yeah, we've been doing this for 4 months, man. So, for this episode, we'll be discussing, well, normally we discuss the ending of most animes and see what we enjoyed, but instead, let's change up a bit, and we'll go back on what we've all decided, or decide what would be a really good anime in the first episode of the podcast, if you guys can remember, or what we think would be really good and interesting to watch, and it's think back and how wrong we are, and how much of a terrible anime they all became.
Wrong.
So this is the retro list where the retrospective list where we look back and realize, maybe it wasn't such a good idea. Mm-hmm. All right, and we've all decided about 3 animes each, apart from Marcus, sadly, because he was in the first episode.
So we just have to trust him.
Yeah, we'll have to trust him telling the truth for us. But before we get to that, Marcus, can you introduce yourself to everyone else since you're new here?
All right, so my name is Marcus. You folks might know me as main protagonist on Tay. I am 40 minutes west of Boston in Massachusetts, and I occasionally write, like, anime reviews and stuff. I haven't done that since, like, April, because I'm lazy, but that's besides the point.
That's fine as well. Don't worry about that. I'll defend you.
Yeah, I wonder why.
We all got our own reasons. There's a World Cup going on, okay?
Yeah, school, man. I don't know what to say. I got into anime like a year and a half, like really into it, like a year and a half ago after watching Kids on the Slope, which segues into my personal top 3 perfectly because it's my favorite anime ever, followed by Bakano and, this is hard, number 3, I'll go with Gurren Lagann.
Reasonable classical picks, right?
Yes.
Nothing too classic.
there's something a little funny about that statement.
It was either that or FLCL.
Well, there's no really far out there picks, all right?
I don't know. Yeah. Kids on the Slope.
Okay. Kids on the Slope is an interesting choice, but I can see it.
I really like that one. It's a really enjoyable anime.
I actually haven't quite finished it yet. I think I'm on like episode 10 or something, but I'll get there.
Yeah. I have it really on Blu-ray because I love it so much.
Right. So, now with that out of the way, let's do our retrospective list. And I think most qualified person here to look back and see how wrong they might be is Richard, the one who works for Kotaku.
Oh, yeah, that makes me qualified, right?
I would be nudging you, but I can't do that through Skype, so...
So let's see. My picks at the beginning of the season, and you have to understand how we pick these, is we make sure we don't overlap in our picks. So, you know, sometimes this may not be our absolute best, but actually these 3 were ones I was really looking forward to. I don't know if I would have said most looking forward to for all of them, but these, I was definitely looking forward to them. And the first one was Akuma no Riddle, or Riddle Story of Devil, if you want the English title.
Yeah.
The English title. There we
go. That's even better.
Yeah, what is it? Group of schoolgirls, all assassins, trying to kill one person in their class. Death game.
Oh yeah,
kind of thing.
We should probably say this now. We're gonna be spoilerific. Let's just go all loose, right? This is the end of the season now. Right? Oh. If you're listening to this by now, you should probably seen everything we're about to.
It has the propensity to be spoilers, so watch yourself.
So I say for us, go nuts. Right?
I don't think any of mine will have too big spoilers, but
okay.
Be warned just in case. But and it was all supposed to be pretty big on the Yuri front, which is always a bonus, and It turned out to be exactly what I expected, but much less than I had hoped.
Yeah.
It definitely makes sense. Like, it was a death game anime. The thing was, like, then they made a big deal about the note, like, oh, the main character doesn't kill. And it's just kind of like, well, what do you think happens to all these people after you defeat them?
Yeah.
Do you think that they just go to a happy little place and chillax for the rest of the show?
Spoilers, they did. I mean...
That's where all the Yuri stuff is.
Yeah, and
but
I mean,
where is the Yuri?
And the Yuri is there, but it's very, but it's never
over. By the Blu-rays.
Yeah, it's never
over. It's extremely subtle. to the point where you could show this to, you know, someone who just doesn't really understand that sort of thing, like a kid, and they'd be like, "Oh, okay, that makes sense."
Yeah, they would just be like, "Oh, they're friends," and that would be it.
Yeah, there's really nothing explicit about it.
For now.
Yeah, and so, like, that was the thing. I mean, yeah, crazy assassin girls fighting it out every episode. That was it.
Yeah.
I don't think it was bad. I don't think it was great. I just kind of went, okay, you know, I don't feel bad. I don't feel worse off watching it. I just, you know, don't feel like it was amazing in any way, shape, or form. Then I'll go to another one, which was that I was the short form anime I was looking forward to, which is Insufficient Direction. It's about the guy. It's the personal life of the guy who made Evangelion, and it's written by his wife. And it's about their home life together. And to really get that show, you have to be a hardcore old school otaku. And I'm not talking, oh, I watched anime in the 90s old school. I'm talking, I watched anime in the 70s otaku. Like, that's what you have to be to get that.
Wow.
Because that's what it's about. Old. Like, that's the references they make. They make references to stuff way back. Like, when they're talking about the original Gundam, they're like, whoa, we're getting a little new here. You know? you know, so it's things like that. But it's a kind of a cute story of like, their relationship as a married couple. That she likes to pretend that she is the normal person in the relationship, but she's actually just as otaku as he is. And the things they do and the things that they think are really cool, she can see that it's absurd unless you're otaku. Like when they go to like a gravel pit and they're like, this is where they had that Super Sentai fight. It was awesome. But only hardcore otaku would even think it was like, everybody else is like, it's a fucking pit. Like, what do you want? You know, that's the kind of situation you get in Insufficient Direction. I enjoyed it, but even for me, who, you know, started in, like, has seen a lot of the 80s stuff, I'm very weak on the 70s. I've only seen four or five anime, big anime from the 70s. So even I was a little out of my depth, but it was still enjoyable because of their relationship. And it's real short, you know, 5 minutes an episode or whatever. So
I was about to say, because out of curiosity, I was going to say, did they, like, reference to, like, stuff, like, news, like, actual news stories back in the 70s, or was it just anime strictly?
It's pretty much anime strictly, because it's about them in modern day and their otaku life, but everything always, like, you know, it's his collection of figures from 70s anime, you know.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And how she kind of wants to throw them away now that they're married, and at the same time she's just like, oh, but they are really cool, you know. so it's kind of that. It's her battle with her own otaku-ness and her husband being the Ota King, if you've ever seen Otaku no video. And then the third one that I watched was, of course, No Game, or that I recommended was No Game, No Life. And it turned out to be so much more than I hoped.
You seem to have got a winner, yeah.
Like that one was, like when I read it, I never would have, like, the description, original description, I was like, oh yeah, gamers trapped in a fantasy world, that could be fun. And, but I didn't expect it to be, like, the most, like, enjoyable thing that I was going to run across in that season, you know? Like, you guys know that when I watch anime, I watch it every morning when I'm riding my exercise bike. I tape them the night before, and then I work out. Yeah, and so I basically I'll save anime for each morning to watch. Couldn't save it. Now, moment I got home, every day, I'm like, oh, it's time to watch, you know, time to watch, and I pop on the TV and watch No Game, No Life. Like, couldn't even wait, and never disappointed.
I remember at the beginning of the season, because at this point you have to remember, when we actually made this, these predictions, we haven't seen a single episode.
No, right? We were still like, what, 2 weeks out?
Yeah. And I remember saying, I referenced this as it's really similar to Mondaichi ga Isekai Karakuri, the ones where they see, like, these amazing high schoolers who enter a new world of, like, pop, like, imaginable, aware of mythical creatures and magicians and wizards and stuff. And I was like, oh, that sounded really cool at the beginning. It did really well in the first few episodes, but it just died out and withered out really horribly in, like, the next 6 episodes. It was a 10-episode anime. It was like, I hope this is not the same treatment, because otherwise I don't want to be near it, but I still watched it, and you're right, it is definitely enjoyable. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Yeah, and it's definitely one of the best of the season, in my opinion. And yes, I mean, my review has recently gone up on Kotaku.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think it is absolutely phenomenal. But there is a sticky point. And the sticky point is, how do you feel about 11-year-old girl panty shots?
Yeah, that's a little weird.
If that turns you off, so, like if the idea of that is just like, I'm out, that's understandable. I mean, I can't be like, well, if you get past the 11-year-old girl panty shots. Because, yeah. like you either can ignore that and just be like, yeah, whatevs. Or you can't, and that's fine either way. Like, I think longtime anime fans are probably desensitized to the whole idea. That it's just whatever. You know, fuck it. Yeah.
I'm not even that longtime of a fan, and I didn't even, like, notice it that much until some people, like, pointed it out. I was like, oh, yeah, that did happen.
But just because... Oh, yeah. Yeah, but just because we are used to it and can ignore it, it doesn't mean people should ignore it.
Definitely,
like,
yeah.
Like, if that is a massive problem, if you can't get past that, there's nothing wrong with you. In fact, there's probably something wrong with us, who are so desensitized, we can just be like, eh, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And
just take, it's all too soon for us to you know, accept it. So it takes, it's all too soon.
Yeah. And so that's the sticky point. Everything else about it, it is so smart. The characters are actually intelligent. Like, they don't feel like they're just making stuff up as they go along. It feels like they have a plan. They have it planned out. They know what they're doing. They're outthinking their opponent, but they're not, like, pulling answers out of their ass. Like, oh, I'm winning this because the author decided I'd win this.
Like, the end was, you can see,
I'm honestly winning because of the heart of the cards.
Yeah, there's none of that.
Oh, man, they cheated so much in Yuga. I couldn't believe it as well.
Yeah.
When they pointed all the rules out of the actual game.
Yeah.
So unfair.
But nonetheless, no, it is absolutely phenomenal, and everyone should watch it if you can deal with it. there we go. That also doubles as my now idea, because that's what we're doing. So it's, we're looking back at what we thought and how we feel now. I got lucky. I picked one that was very, very, very good. It turned out to be much better than expected, so that was great. If we go to my other two, it goes around because there were a lot of good ones this time.
Oh yeah, I enjoyed,
but I guess I'll probably end up in the end going with 1 Week Friends, which,
okay,
it was
solid
just
choice.
It was so much of the time we see, you know, romance stories, and it was really great to see one that was about friendship. It really was. Would he like to date her? Yeah, probably. But
clearly.
But
yeah, clearly.
That's not the focus.
But just because he'd want to, that's not what it's about. It's, he wants to be a good friend more than he wants to seduce her. Like, that's the key. And because of that, it's really, each episode is thematically centered around a different aspect of friendship. And that's what we're going to explore. We're going to explore meeting the parents of your friends, how you know, you interact with them. We're going to talk about friends of friends. We're going to talk about what happens when your best friend starts making new friends. And it was just this really cool episode-by-episode thematic look about friendship.
Yeah,
and that's totally good.
I mean,
I like that.
The episode titles as well, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
They're all actually titled, you know.
No, it's very blatant about what it's doing.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
And then the overall plot, you know, when you're getting to know more about the characters and more about the memory resetting problem and why it happens and all that stuff. Yeah, that was great, too. And I've heard people describe it as slow.
I don't mind slow. I don't think that's a negative.
But
that's not a negative comment, I don't think, if it's
slow. Well, and people say slow, but it's only slow depending on what you consider the goal to be. If you consider the goal of the series to be solving the problem, then yes. But that's not the point of the series. The point of the series is exploring friendship using this plot device.
You're not instantly best friends with someone. I feel like that's sort of a silly criticism.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I think people were expecting it to be, like, it's not plot-driven. People were expecting it to be plot-driven about resolving the story. It's not. It's thematically driven. And they're different kinds of things. One is not inherently better than the other. It's just, you know, they're different things. And
yeah,
they do different... they have different points and different goals. And then my third favorite is, or my third of the my favorites, is another thematically driven show, which is Blade and Soul. However, while One Week Friends is about friendship, right? Blade and Soul is about vengeance. That's what it is about. It is, we're going to look at the concept of vengeance through all these short stories. And in fact, it does the exact same thing as One Week Friends, where each episode title tells you exactly what we're talking about. It's like, this is the episode about what it means to be a sword or an assassin or a tool and a method of vengeance. So that's what we're going to look at. And then this one, we're going to look at about people who are self-righteous and getting vengeance against, you know, perceived wrongs or slights or whatever. And so each episode builds on that, and it's told through a series of stories that are basically unrelated, like have unrelated characters, except for the main cast of like three or four people who wander in and out of these other people's stories. And it's about how this assassin goes from being a tool who's getting vengeance, not because she wants it, but because that's what the code book says. When somebody kills your master, you kill him. And how they slowly, she slowly but surely, by going in and out of these tales of vengeance, tries to grow into a better person. And because the world is a very crapshack world, as we call it, getting human feelings kind of blows, because lots of bad things can happen too. And it's kind of about understanding the good and the bad. And if there's any moral to the story, it's vengeance never turns out well. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. It's like, even if you get it, you are not going to be happy, which is pretty much understood. So
yeah, I can't say too much since I haven't watched it.
And I mean, I get it. Like, you're right. But people, we were talking about this in the pre-talk. Yes, it has classic anime fantasy designs, aka female armor.
Tits everywhere.
Yeah, tits everywhere. But that said,
female armor does not compute.
But the fan service is never the focus. Like, that's kind of the odd point, considering the character designs. It's not one where you ever get a panty shot, or ever zoom in on the jiggling boobs, or anything like that, or even have a character, like, sexually lust after another one. Like, that's not at all what it's about. It's just, these are what the characters look like. So it was kind of weird. Certainly,
it's a side effect of the visuals.
Yeah. The interesting thing is, it is based on an MMO, which is very strange, or it's actually kind of a good thing, because this is not the story of the MMO. This is a story set in that world. They have a very expansively built and understood world, and we're just watching a story in that world.
I remember asking before, like, you follow the story of what the main, like, as a player who would take control of in the game. You don't follow, you know, you don't follow a player, you follow the character that they would assume in that role of the main story, right?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I've not played Blade and Soul. I've not played.
Oh, okay.
But I doubt it. I highly doubt it.
I must have gone crazy.
No, you might be right. This is...
There's a lot of side mission stuff.
It doesn't feel like an MMO kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't... It's not paced that way. That's what it is. It's just every episode we're going to look at vengeance, a different aspect of it. If you like thematically driven, you'll like it. If you like bloody violent action, you'll like it.
I hear
those are the things that like
really high, surprisingly.
Yeah, real high production.
12 episodes. Yeah.
Yeah, really good thematically, very good characters. But you know. That it's told in a very specific way for a very specific purpose. And
I have to say, it's quite strange that hearing, you know, most when we think about MMO stories, we always think, especially the free-to-play ones, we're like, oh Jesus, it's just tacked on, you know, bits of like other stories. You know, it's just random words and random characters and random events that you have to play through. But from the sounds of it, you know, good characters and then free-to-play MMO, just like, whoa, that's some good writing there somewhere had to be done. Mm. Or they adapt it crazy.
Yeah, there's a reason it's popular in Korea. you know.
I just thought it was really addictively good. Good combat, but hey, yeah, we'll see. Waiting to play it. Yeah, I'm waiting to play it still.
Yeah, is it a Korean RPG or is it just a Japanese MMO that is popular in Korea?
No, no, it is a Korean in CSoft RPG.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
MMORPG. And yeah, it's just it launched in Japan, and so they created an anime to go along with it. You know, probably as promotion for the MMO.
And we get nothing.
Except somebody, you know, every once in a while, somebody really creative is just like, yeah, I'll make your anime, and I'll make it good. That was the thing. I was definitely one of those people who, when I first heard about it, was just kind of like, oh, this is going to be such schlock. Like, everything about, like, the character design, and, like, I was like, this is going to be a cheap, just BS, like, let's get people interested in the MMO kind of thing. I was not expecting, like, this massive thematic exploration. But yeah, that's what I got. Those are my three.
Sounds like a gold mine you stumbled upon, Richard. But let's turn to David. See how you went with the, you know, the scavenger hunt. Did you?
Mine? All
yeah,
right.
So with your first three, if you remember your when you
well,
were so...
Yeah.
When you're unenlightened by the actual episodes.
Yeah. So my first three were, firstly, Selector Infected Wecross, and it's actually said Wecross. Okay.
Yeah, it's not Wecross.
It's not Wecross. It's Wecross.
It's not Wecross. Oh, by the way, I was so sad when he made the wiki. It wasn't called Selector Infected Wiki. So I was like, oh, why didn't you get the perfect name? But sadly, it was not to be. Well, sorry, but carry on.
Wiki sauce.
Yeah, so as I remember, I did not go and listen to myself before this, but as I remember, what I said about it was gonna be good or something like that. Just not necessarily great, just good. And I think I pretty much hit the nail on the head with that one. It was good. It wasn't great. It is definitely not the best out of the season. Well,
I think certainly they had some merit to it. I thought.
It definitely had merit. I'm not disputing that. I mean, I really do think it turned out exactly as I thought it would. It has its moments. It turned out to be pretty mind screwy, and oh look, we're gonna make these girls hate life.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, when it first started, I thought this is just going to be Madoka Magica 2.0.
I think everyone, like, ever since Madoka came out, everyone started calling anything, you know.
There was a lot of people. Similar. There was a lot of people that were kind of writing Wecross off as schlock after the first and second episodes. But I kept with it. I was feeling like it would go somewhere good, and it did end up going some pretty good places with how dark it got, with how it dealt with the card game, in that it didn't really try to merchandise itself like something like Yu-Gi-Oh!
Beautiful.
Does.
Yeah.
They're just like, yeah, there's a card game happening, but
shame
we're
we
not going to talk about that.
Yeah, it's a shame we don't understand what they were doing, but, you know, they did stuff, I assume.
It's, yeah, it's a shame that we don't know what the hell's going on in these games.
At least
but,
we know there's a clear winner and a clear loser at the end of each, you know, duel.
Instead, they took the focus from that and put it on these characters getting, you know, super dark things. I don't know.
Especially the part I like when the moments when they do battle, they actually do exposition on the characters, not of the game. I think that's what was quite nice.
Yes.
When Tama finally goes, look, we need to battle. Like, that's all she ever said at the first three episodes. Like,
battle.
So I get you, Tama. I get you. You know? But yeah, I really do love that part.
Is the game supposed to be marketed towards, like, young children? Because that anime is not...
So.
No,
have you guys
it's not
seen,
young.
Have you
it's,
seen the
it's
art?
It's teens.
Okay.
Have you even seen the art for the actual
not
cards?
That young.
They're quite racy, some of the artwork. So
well,
cards.
We've watched the show, and some of those cards are pretty racy in and of themselves.
Yeah. Well, not as bad as, like, the ones where they're of the same character, and then, like, she's just in all the gravure idol poses. And you're like, I guess you can get away with that. I'm not sure. You know.
Yeah, no, it was... I haven't finished it yet. I'm about three-fourths of the way through. I got lots to watch, guys. Lots to watch.
Yeah. But,
we haven't spoiled anything major.
Yeah,
no. We haven't. And that's the thing, though.
Richard, if he's three-fourths of the way, then he knows what I'm talking about already.
Yeah,
it gets dark. It gets kind of freaky.
Yeah, and that's it, I'm liking it. And I have to say I was a little almost disappointed that it's getting a sequel.
Yeah.
Because I like my things to end. you know.
Yeah.
But
I think it feels like this thing was kind of designed to be 24 episodes, but
it could very
well hold my judgment. I'll hold my judgment until it comes out. I don't know yet.
Well, to be fair, all the spring shows are getting a second season, but they're all airing in the fall anyway.
That's so, weird.
Everyone's getting a split call. It's like,
does this happen these days?
I think after, because what was the first one that did it that I know of? Valvrave, maybe. But I think it's basically a way to mitigate your cost a lot, because you can get the DVDs out there and actually use the DVD money to produce the
second refund
half.
Yourself. Yeah,
yeah, because I don't remember ever seeing this happen back when I was back in like the early 2000s. I'm like,
I think it has happened before. I just can't put my finger on it, because I know it happened when I was watching a certain series, but you have to forgive me for a moment. I'm just gonna just rack my brain,
because I mean a lot of them, don't get me wrong, it's the way anime works in Japan, you know, is when you finish production, you're done. Like, everybody goes on to different projects. There's no, oh, will we get a second season? No, the production stops. If you get a second season, everything starts from scratch again. And that's how it works with all Japanese TV shows, anime and live action included, with the exception of the forever weeklies like Pokemon or Naruto or whatever. But they're a different model entirely. It seems recently they've actually started very much being like, we're making 24 episodes, but we're going to split it over to...
And then just give it a new title as well. Actually. And give it a break. They tack on the word number two as well. You're like, well, I guess it's season two, even though you're just, you know, split core. But
yeah, even though production never stopped, you know.
Yeah. they stack on two.
Yeah, and I guess it probably also gives them more development time to work on it.
Yeah, definitely give them at least.
Because, like, I don't know if you know, but like, even shows like Full Metal Alchemist, and I don't mean Brotherhood, I mean the original. Like, you know, they would get that to print, like, maybe 10, 12 hours before it was going to air. Like for those final couple episodes. So I'm sure it really helps your overall pacing. You don't have to rush like that if you have that extra time.
But yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. So. That'll be fun.
I don't mind it, because it gives the show gives it a lifeline, I guess. But onto your second choice, David?
Well, I was just going to say, just in case any of you were wondering what the hell we're talking about, yes, it is getting a second season. It's coming in the fall, and what's it called? It's Selector Spread Wecross.
There we go. There's a lot of innuendos going on in that show as well, ever since that title.
If you say so.
Infected. Look. I don't know. That's not the kind of innuendo I want.
Okay, hold on. I'm stopping this conversation.
Right, carry on. Let's get
okay.
on track quickly.
Moving on. My next one was Flag, or If Her Flag Breaks, Kanjoga Flag, whatever you want to call it. This was my bad pick, basically.
You championed that as well for the first.
I did,
the following
because
episode.
I did like the early episodes.
Come on, don't pretend you didn't champion it too. I was the only one who was like...
That was Rock.
No, that's Kevin. Kevin championed it with David.
Yeah,
I was
the
skeptical one. I was like,
sure
careful.
You
were. Hey.
I did like this one at the beginning. I really
I have to
did.
Be neutral.
And then it quickly went downhill around, episode 9, 10? It was a really rapid fall from grace.
Yeah,
it just
funny,
it got way too serious for its own good.
Like, I dropped it pretty early, like 5 or 6 in... But I had a friend who dropped it on like episode 10, and I was just like, "How do you drop it when it's only got 2 episodes left?"
It just it felt like a different show. It felt like a different show by the end, and that's why you can do that, because you're like, "Oh, he's not even doing the flag thing anymore. This is just a whole bunch of weird fantasy craziness going on." It really felt like a different show. And it was worse for it.
Near the end, it was just like, great, now we've got our really tacked on fantasy story that meant to be, you know, it's meant to be dark.
Yeah, they assembled the team, and after they assembled the team, they jumped into a whole different show.
Yeah,
and it was like,
we haven't seen the final episode yet, right? Because I think it's aired. Or has it aired? I just didn't watch it.
I think it's next week.
Then that's fine. But it was just like, quickly, let's tack on the action, because we have the...
next episode has a whole ton of tropes put into it that are funny, it's not going to recover at all. So
yeah, it's just fall for the same trap of all those harem comedies where they have this like overarching quote-unquote serious plot, and then they're like, then just come in episode 8, you're like, what, that came out of nowhere, Jesus. And it just didn't, it just felt really forced and not good at all.
Yeah, it for did me, feel it was forced. More like, I was watching it, and I was like, okay, well, the funny moments are hilarious, but I hate everything else. Like, yeah. it's just, it was pretty good at the beginning, I agree. I stopped liking it at, like, episode 6. Just because I got sick of it, because I mean it, you can only pull like the same exact joke so many times.
Yeah, it started beating its jokes a little bit.
They just they have to stick to that archetype, otherwise it just wouldn't the comedy.
Well, but there's room to like mix it up. I mean, come on.
There are a ton of harem tropes, and they didn't hit even half of them.
That's probably one of the things that annoyed me the most, because I'm not a giant fan of harem / really cutesy stuff, unless it's like really good.
That's like 50% of anime, Marcus. Come on.
Yeah, that's why I like started watching a bunch of shows at the beginning, and then they just slowly fall away.
Yeah. So,
but now you know better, David.
I also dropped it on episode 11.
Oh wow! Okay.
It's not that I can't
watch. I couldn't watch it anymore.
It's not that I learned a lesson from this. In fact, I'm probably going to pick up a show like this again in the future, because
I know, right?
If they ever get it right, it's going to be amazing.
I know, right? That's the problem.
But yeah. So, Flag was my failure, unfortunately. The next one was one that I shared with Estevalis back in the first episode, and that was Mahoka Koku no Retose, the regular at Magic High School. And we've talked about this one at length, so I'm gonna
still at halfway point though, aren't we?
Yeah, it's a two core. We've already talked about this in the previous episode, so I'm just gonna kind of leave it at this, which is it has its moments. It has a super powerful protagonist who is completely infallible, and you know sometimes that's fun. Sometimes.
Yeah, no, I'm usually okay with that. Like, it's well, because like, better. Don't you want to follow the strong character? Like.
Yeah,
like I mean, he does have flaws. The problem is nobody exploits them.
Yeah,
you know,
he's really I mean, to be fair, it's getting better. I think like now that we're opening up to the cast, so we instead of knowing one guy, the stoic main manly,
more ensemble and less just this guy saving the day all on his own. Yeah.
Essentially, we're just getting more Erica and more everyone else. Really, is much better. So
yeah, you know. So. I don't consider this one a failure. It is pretty good, and I'm hoping that it keeps being about as good it is or better for the second core here.
Oh, God. It needs to step up. It needs to step up.
It does need to step up.
And stop.
I won't consider it a failure. I won't consider it a failure unless it falls below where it is right now, though.
Yeah. It's remarkably average.
The plot vomits out the way now, and a lot of the exposition of how the world works. So that's all out the way. So hopefully, it can only go up, right? I mean, it's hit.
Although I'll tell you though, in that the last episode when they spent 5 minutes trying to explain that one of the girls was doing the shooting clay pigeons, and it was like, oh, she creates little air mines that explode and blow up the clay pigeons, and I was like, okay, I just explained that in a single simple sentence. You all know what I mean. Like, she makes magical air mines, they blow up the clay pigeons. That's it. But they took, like, 10 minutes to try to explain that. But I'm like, just say air mines, clay pigeon, go boom. We get it. Show us a picture. You did. We're done. Jeez Louise here.
But they have to be clever. Remember, like, they have their own technical terms for everything. They don't call it magic. They call it, like, esper. Like, I think, is it an esper or something?
No, they say, like, wizard or magician or something.
They don't call it mana. They call it some esper value, like, or some, like, esper values or something. They didn't even call it lifting. They call it acceleration, deceleration. Like, okay, I get it scientifically, but can you just say, he just lifted it over there?
No, let's not dwell on that for too long.
Yeah, sorry. But yeah, we've talked about this. But that was the thing. Like, this is just... you don't need to make up terms for everything, okay?
I've
got to agree with Marcus over here. It's remarkably average right now.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's
perfect
bad.
Way to put
like,
it.
Like, I'm okay with it, but... I was expecting more and hoping for more. And
Same.
You
I think, just to go back though, of what George said, I think it's definitely great for the people, for people who actually read the light novel, and I bet they feel so special because they're, well, not saying it's a bad thing, but at least they're getting treated well because they're using the terms they've read in the light novel, and they're like, yeah, I get you.
Sure.
I totally get you, man. I love that term. You know, it's like, okay, that's cool. It's a shame for the other 80% of us who's watching. We don't understand what that means. You know, I want to be part of the show as well, but they won't let me.
The other thing I want to say about it is that, like, it's weird. I never found myself really wanting to watch it, but at the same time, every single time I watched it, it felt like it was over fast. Like, it just went down really smooth, but it wasn't, like, particularly, like, good or bad. It just kind of happened.
It's because that exposition vomit that we were talking about, it just, whoa! All this information! Okay.
But, right. But now David knows better. So what would you pick now, David?
Well, again, it's not that I know better. Stop putting words in my mouth, Ken.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Again, I think I had the best ratio out of everybody here. Now.
That's just personal taste here, but hey.
Okay, fine. And I've got a bonus here because in the after hours I came back and added one because I don't think the first episode for it had come out yet. I can't remember, but... I had decided on it. It was Goku Koku no Bernhilder, or Bernhilder in the Darkness. And I've been loving this one. Well, maybe love is a bit of a strong word. But it...
No, it's not. You're awesome for thinking it's awesome.
until I see the next episode, I can do not know if I love it or not.
Passive-aggressive, Richard?
No.
I'm
with you.
Sorry.
Yeah, so, Goku Koku no Bernhilder. It's great, but it's great in a way that I've almost never seen an anime before, and that's that its main lead is freaking amazing. Every time Ryota is on screen, he's basically saying, fuck your anime logic. Every single time.
Mm-hmm.
And it is incredible to watch. Oh, the girls are all half naked or something. Oh, I'm not getting a nosebleed. In fact, I'm going to tell them, why the hell are you getting undressed outside? And walk away.
Yeah, it's great to
watch. I'm
going
to talk to... Yeah, Kazumi's going to come up to him and try to, like, you know, seduce him so that she can lose her virginity or something. He's like, you know, life isn't about sex. And you're like, it's like, what?
Like, get over yourself. Just so you know.
You're like, Ryota, you're speaking too much sense in an anime.
Yeah.
What?
It's fun. It's fun how it... Because it always sets up the cliche anime situations. He does not play along, and more often than not, those cliche anime situations turn out really dark. They're... Well, in contrast, they set it up so that you're like... you're like, oh, okay. Huh, cliche anime thing. I know what to expect. And then suddenly it's like, oh, look.
Whoa.
That person melted.
And it's the same thing with the mood whiplash in the show, because you're expecting these happy cliches, and then nope.
But because
I didn't like it.
But that's what I'll say. Yeah. Because of the fact that the main character never plays along, it never feels as abrupt as, like, Valvrave. Because Valbraid goes straight from cliche to darkest crap and back again constantly. This one, at least we have one character who knows that the cliche is kind of stupid. And so he's never quite playing along. So when the dark stuff happens, it just makes it seem like, yeah, he gets it, you know? He gets the gravity of the situation while the others are trying to ignore it. It makes it more of a willful thing. Like, they're willfully trying to live a normal life. And he's like, hold up, guys, that's not reality.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see why.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you, Marcus over here, did drop it, and he dropped it because of this.
I hated it.
Yeah.
To be fair,
I think it's fair that people don't like these mood whiplashes. I think I might be maybe not an anomaly, but there's a segment of the population that enjoys these mood swings, and I happen to be one of them.
I think I'm with Marcus here.
I didn't like it because of that. I do remember one part that I thought was really funny though, when he like watches someone get cut in half, and he like doesn't even react, and then like some gross bug thing comes out of her, and he like screams like a little girl and just like stomps on it, and it was so funny. I still think it's funny. It's a highlight of the series.
What you expect versus what you don't expect.
my only issue with the show is that it has this, like, great... Like you said, it has these great moments where they want to do this, like, great contrast between the really dark and then, you know, the crazy troops and cliches. But problem is, like, I don't like the flow of how it's all connected. Like, I feel it's so badly tacked. Like, you know, it's forced on. Where it's just like, we got to hunt magicians, so we got to send all these, you know, weekly magicians, and it's just day in, day out. It's just like, oh god, and then just put in these random situations where these cliches would then finally happen. And I'm just like, oh, that really hurts. And then they do the cliche. Then they, you know, they do that great thing of the contrast. Like, okay, that's, you saved me a little bit there. And then just the next episode, it's like, oh, this the world's worst like way to explain why, how they got to this situation. Bam! Well, just have that fun cliche moment again. It's like, this is really hard to enjoy. Well, you know,
conversely,
like, it's written that way. It definitely is contrived in that way. It is written to set up the cliche so that they can.
It just doesn't flow enough right for me. But I do like it though, especially when the Amish people came. Well, I thought they were Amish.
The Mennonites walk in.
It's like, we're taking your technology away and your magic.
It was
The
Amish people were there, that was the greatest little cliche aversion I've ever seen in my life.
Like, when I was watching the opening, I'm just like, I want the Amish people in this anime now. Just get it over and done with, please. When they introduced it, I was like, you know what? You saved it. All right, you Amish people made the show so much better.
Apologies to any Amish person watching this right now.
Oh, yeah, they're awesome, those Amish people. I love them.
But the other thing is, the characters are smart. I like smart characters. And having, and it's not just the main character. Like, granted, he is always, like, thinking ahead. But, like, even, what was it, the mind control girl? Oh, man.
Oh, no,
like, watching her outthink her captor was awesome.
Wait, the mind... Oh, do you mean the one who can...
Rewrite memories?
Reader?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, because her whole thing was to trick the guy into taking her to an area where there's a lot of people so that he'd think she'd look... So, and she's just like, okay, well, this is easy. I'll just mind control freaking everyone around me and have them take off your sunglasses.
Yep.
You dumbass.
I do not like Murakami's explanation of how he got away. I have really good memory. That way I can beat magic. I was like, what?
Yeah, his photographic memory does seem to be a little bit of a stretch.
Although I did like how smart he was, because he's like, oh, it didn't work. Okay, I'm going to keep pretending that it did.
Yeah, at least he played it off.
Yeah.
I'm just like, come on, man.
If this were any other anime, the character would have just been like, oh, it didn't work. And then that would have been
the plot.
It didn't
work because I'm special. Yeah.
And also, did anyone find really annoying how that people shouting Murakami at the end of the episode, like the final episode when he got, like, you know, a bit of his body blown off, and everyone was just shouting Murakami, and it was just like literally 5 minutes of the girl shouting Murakami. I was just like, oh my god, like, okay, I get it, you've conveyed that they're sad and they're distraught. Please, I know he's gonna survive, just go.
Somehow I just got that, I just took that as another writer screwing around with us being overly dramatic so that they could do more mood swings, but
oh man,
yeah, in any case, I like this one, I really do.
Was that sad? I lost track.
That was technically four. Now I've got to talk about the now.
But luckily, your choices. Haha, you're now. Yes.
Luckily, my choices, because again, I did pretty well.
In your opinion.
Yes. Yes. But then again, this
you did
entire podcast
you
is unpopular.
You correctly
opinions.
Predicted what you would like.
What you would enjoy. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's pretty good.
I've already been over these two, so my first two are Selector Infected Wheat Cross and Goku Koku no Bernhilder.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty easy. And then the third one is Data Live 2, which nobody here watched, so I can't really discuss this one.
Sure,
but
you can.
Suffice
I talked about
say,
Blade and Soul, you can talk about Data Live.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll just have to sit here and disagree, because we can't disagree otherwise for the time being.
Now, yeah. The thing about Data Live 2 is, it doesn't take itself that seriously. It does take itself more seriously than it did in the first season, and that's what started to make it a lot better. Still, it had its problems in that the budget for this season was clearly cut. And when I say clearly, I mean the animation dropped off a cliff at times, and they shortened it from 13 episodes down to 10 episodes, like, during the season. So you clearly saw what was happening there. Like, they started to squish things in. That said, I still think it was one of the better ones out of this season, at least for what it set out to do. It's a harem comedy, and it happens to, you know, play on a whole bunch of magical girl tropes and all of that. And it's a lot of fun sometimes.
I'm guessing it sticks to its guns too, unlike Flag.
Yeah, yeah, it was. It's very consistent.
You either abandon ship or you go down with the ship. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's very consistent. You can still tell that the first season of Data Live and this one are the same show, and a lot of the themes are still there, and it's still a comedy. And really, that's why it's a pretty strong one out of the season, because it just knows what it's trying to do and it goes for it. Which is actually quite difficult, I guess.
Well, you sound very happy with your choices, it seems.
I'm actually quite happy with these ones. So.
And just to go back, you know how earlier you said that we were surprised at how certain spring shows have now gotten their split cores all into four now?
Yeah.
Remember, it's kind of a weak example because I think it actually aired 2 years ago or maybe a year ago, which was Little Busters. Now, I remember because when you watched all 24 episodes, then there was like if you watch after the credits or the ending sequence, they did this thing, it's like, oh, we'll see you later. Well, actually, Free did it as well. They said, granted, Free was next year, but Little Busters was next season, which was them doing the Little Busters refrain, which is the actual. The actual following of one of the routes, which was, I think, Rin. But yeah, so Little Busters did it, I remember. And I was like, holy crap, Little Busters season 2! Yes! It just came out of nowhere. I was so happy. But yeah, I remember that doing it. But again, I think it aired like a year ago, maybe two. So it's kind
then
of
that probably wasn't. That was probably them sequel baiting.
But to be fair, that's quite a strong anime to do it, though. Little Busters is one of the adaptations of the big VN, so...
Yeah.
What can you do?
Like, it was pretty much I agree, it was very much a kind of, like, this is gonna happen kind of thing.
Yeah. Right, Marcus. Okay, so we'll have to trust you on your words, what you thought you were going to enjoy.
Alright. So, for my first one... I'll come back to this later because it also happens to be one of the ones I would recommend now.
Oh, actually, can you leave that very last as well? Because I think that will tie with mine later on.
I don't know. Let me see. I don't think so. No. I don't know what your nows are. Sorry, but I'll just briefly mention it. I have to actually read the name off because it's really long. The Koai Complex Guide to Manners and Hostile Behavior. Shortened as Kawaiso, which I'll just say that I picked it up because I wanted something to fill the void left by Silver Spoon ending in, well, not ending, like season 2 of Silver Spoon finishing up in winter, and it like completely blew my expectations. I just picked it because it looked pretty and because it was a slice of life comedy, and I was like, okay, well, I want to watch a slice of life comedy, and it just happened to be good. My second choice was Baby Steps, and I'm pretty okay with this choice.
Yeah, shame it's not as strong as I thought it would be, but it's getting there. It's trudging along, I think.
It's slightly above average, I would say. It's a two-core show, so I shouldn't talk about it too much. I think you guys talked about it in one of the old episodes.
Maybe.
Not too much.
Baby Steps?
I don't think so. Not Baby Steps. I can't remember.
We'll probably get to it at some point.
No, it was ping pong. I remember we did ping pong at one stage.
Mm. Yeah, ping pong. Baby Steps is a sports anime about a really meticulous note-taking kid who's like really OCD about like everything he does. Mm. And he starts playing tennis because it has to fit into his like image of himself, like because he needs to make time for, you know, physical activity, and he ends up falling in love with the sport, and it basically builds on that. And it's very unlike most typical sports anime, where it's either A, like a really, really talented player who just starts off really good and like progresses, or B, the underdog with a lot of potential who ends up becoming an amazing player just because, like, because he's talented or whatever. But what I like about Baby Steps is that that's why it's called Baby Steps. Like, he... I think we're 13 episodes in now, maybe 12.
Something like 12, sounds about right to me.
Yeah. And, so far it's been, like, a year in the show's time, and just, like, showing how he improves, like, really, not necessarily quickly, but very steadily, and it just, like, and his, like, tennis playing abilities come from his, like, naturally good eyesight and his diligence rather than just pure-born talent, which I thought was really nice. And it ended up being pretty good. It wasn't like amazing or anything. It's just a solid show. Not the best of the season, but you know, like maybe top 10, like at the lower end of the spectrum.
Certainly enjoyable at certain stages. Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, also, it has like a romance element. It's not like
it's not too.
Yeah, I haven't really noticed anything of that sort, really. You know,
it's not overblown.
The problem
it's,
with most sports anime with romance elements is just that they don't really pursue it anyway. It's just kind of a side element. I always feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm told that they actually do flesh out upon it. I haven't read the manga, but
yeah.
Apparently, they actually go somewhere with it. So you can look forward to that if you're watching it. we'll and see. So those two picks were pretty good. My third pick is not so good. It's also one of Kevin or Rock's picks. That was Makaku City Actors.
Well, at least you can take the hit for him. You can take the hit for him.
I'll be honest, I didn't hate this show, but it certainly wasn't good. Like, the best thing about it are the songs. My favorite thing about it is that they did actual covers of the Vocaloid song, because I'm not a huge fan of Vocaloid.
Oh, they're the covers? I thought they were the original.
Nah.
Oh, okay.
They did covers. Okay. And those are very good. That's about the only very good thing about the show. Except, well, the animation is good, too. It's Shaft. I mean, what do you expect? But it's really... yeah, it's really, really, really Shaft. Like, if you've seen Monogatari, take, like, the head tilts and all the weird stuff and, like, multiply it by, like, four.
Yeah, same director.
Yeah.
They always trust him a lot, though. He does a lot of the Shaft animes.
Yeah, he did Madoka as well.
Yeah.
But... Oh, sorry.
No, I was guessing. Did he do Sayonara Zetsubou Sensei? But I think he might have.
I'm not sure.
They're very similar.
I'm not sure.
Yep. Sorry, but carry on.
Anywho, yeah. So it's about like in the synopsis, it was like it's about a neat who goes out into the world for the first time, and everyone has superpowers, and it sounds really cool. But first of all, like I don't even remember Shintaro. I think that's his name.
Shintaro.
Yeah, it's a good thing when at 12 I can't even remember the name. He gets like not a lot of screen time at all, even though he's the character like touted in the summary, which is kind of weird. And it's also it doesn't really have anything to do with like Hikikomori going into like actual society. It's more of like a supernatural show, but it doesn't really know what to do with itself. It just kind of like goes. Every single episode isn't really connected at all. Like the characters are okay, I guess, but it's pretty much backstory, backstory, backstory for each and every one of them without really going anywhere with the plot, just like kind of throwing it in. It's kind of very confusing. I understood it for the most part, but I feel like you either have to have read or like you have to be like a fan of Kagero Project stuff to actually really understand what's going on, and it doesn't really like it just doesn't work well. The whole it feels very like the whole thing's like jarring. It's a jarring experience to go through. Like if you marathoned it, it would just feel weird. Like when I went from like episode 1 to episode 2, I was extremely confused. I was like, "Well, what was happening in the first episode? These are entirely different people. What's going on?"
One of the fair few MNAs that I did where I watched the next episode and I think to myself, "I don't know anything." I quickly like skimmed through the previous episode going, "Wait, I've seen this." Oh, okay. I have seen last episode. Thank God, I'm just not going crazy.
Yeah.
It's one of those animes I've done as well.
It was just weird. I feel like it probably could have been good if it was a 24 episode show instead of a 12 or 13. I don't remember. It's one of those numbers. I don't know. It was just not great, except for the art, which is kind of expected to be good.
But now. Now what would you pick?
Now what would I pick? Ken.
Hello.
I might have to steal this from you.
No, if you leave it last, actually, no, just take it from me. You don't just take it. I'll jump
just
in as well.
Just take it.
You know what? Come on, go for it.
I think is the best show of the season, maybe of the year so far, Ping Pong the Animation.
very good anime. I think it's very solid.
It is. It's good.
Oh my god. It was so good.
I didn't cry at the end. I was so happy.
Going by the name, you can tell that it's about ping pong. But that is not what it's really about. That is just a convenient backdrop to tell a wonderful character-driven coming-of-age story. It focuses on... Well, we've already probably talked about this before. Yeah. It focuses on the four main athletes, Pekko, Smile, Dragon, and Kong. One is a genius who loses his way because he's too talented and just gets lazy. One is another super talented kid, but he's completely introverted, and he doesn't care about winning or losing, and is just... He's the main character, for obvious reasons. And the other is Dragon, also... his name's Kazuma. Ryu Kazuma, that's why they call him Dragon. He is, like, the star player of, like, the best ping-pong school in Japan.
The one who's devoted his life to the sport. The one who has no room for anything else in his life,
And it's just really... It explores themes... Oh, I forgot to mention. Kong's a player from China who got kicked off of his national team for some reason.
Oh, he was too good. Was too bad. He wasn't as good.
Yeah, he was an asshole.
No, he just wasn't good enough.
Yeah, he's just not as good. Level.
That's why he's
instructor. Well, he also is an asshole in the beginning.
Yeah, well, to be fair, he was pretty good, though. He's pretty good.
But, like, I feel like the reason this show is so good is because... first of all of the characters feel like their struggles are real. Like, I can relate to each and every one of them on some level. I just lost my train of thought. Excuse me.
It's just that good, right?
It's just so good. It was so good. It's directed by Masaki Yuasa, who is also the director of Atomic Galaxy, if that rings any bells to anyone. Mm-hmm. But it's got a really weird art style. Like, if you've ever seen Tekkon Kinkreet.
It's so unique, I think. Beautiful. I think it's beautiful.
This is by the same artist as Tekkon Kinkreet. And but I feel like the animation, you have to watch it to really understand it. It'll turn off some people, but I think it just works so well in context of the show. Like, the awkwardness of it is, like, perfect for expressing how teenagers deal with their emotions and such. So it was a really good visual representation of what was actually happening in their minds.
It's like a sketchbook. It's like an animated sketchbook. That's how I'd describe it. But you're right. That's exactly what it's about. Absolutely. Character-driven the whole way around. Very good. Coming of age, all that good stuff.
I can't even put it into words. Like, what it's... You have to watch it. Just go watch it.
If you think it's a sports anime... If you think you're going to watch people playing ping pong where they use magical shots where suddenly the ball will automatically curve into their paddle or any kind of BS like that, High Prince of Tennis, it's not. It's the sport is just the backdrop for them coming of age. And whole tournament, done in one episode. That's it. And what's more important about the tournament is not the tournament or even who wins or loses. It's about how big the best player in the country has to go and hide in the bathroom and hyperventilate before every match.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like seemingly invincible guy that everyone fears. It's just like he's just as human as the next guy. Yeah. It's just... I honestly think it will be a really long time before we get anime of similar caliber in the sense of that art, the way they're going to tell a story through the sport, mm-hmm. the characters we're going to get given. It's going to be a long time before we get another of those.
Yeah. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say it's like it's a masterpiece.
It's good.
We'll ridicule you for the first 5 years, and the next 10 we'll be like, my god, he was telling the truth. Like we do with all prophets.
Yes.
Well, and the other two?
Well, Dex already talked about Selector Infected We Cross. And that would be one of my picks for you to watch now. Not so much because it was like a super fantastic show, but because it's like a really solid show that's just worth watching. He already explained everything it was about. But
that's fine, yeah.
It honestly, this was my biggest surprise out of anything I watched this season. Because I went in, like, for first episode, I was like, all right, this is exactly like Madoka Magica. And then it ended up doing like a complete, took it to turn in a completely different direction, like halfway through. and it was just really nice to see. And it ended up being one of the better shows of the season. Not like the best, but it was just good. It was just a solid show.
Right, and then if you're third?
Kawaii So.
Ah, so
this is my second. This is my second favorite show of the season, if you're wondering.
So it just flows in quite nicely anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what you thought is what you got. How lucky.
Yeah. I've just picked it up on a whim. Like, I was like, oh, this looks cool. I plan on watching this.
Yeah.
I guess I'm looking forward to it.
I think we talked about this, like, 2 episodes ago or something. Yeah.
Yeah, but it got so much better. Like, it just continued to get better after that.
Eddie Richard was the one that was a little different.
Oh, I can kind of see where Richard is coming from with this. Do you still feel the same way, Richard?
Like, that's the thing. I'm still, you know, just a little, like, 3/4 of the way through. I'm going to wait until I get to the end before I make any kind of things. Because that was the thing. I was never against it. I was kind of like, this is interesting. It could go great. I'm not sure. And I'll reserve judgment till the end, and maybe to the end of the second half.
My only issue with it is just that it kind of dances around. It doesn't really particularly go anywhere.
Yeah,
and that's
so
fine.
Funny.
That's fine. But yeah. I do kind of like my plot driven stuff. I really do. So I kind of like to see that and stuff. But it's okay. I still like Kawaii So. So you can continue.
Yeah, it's another really character driven show, and it's so funny.
Oh, sorry. I thought we were talking about WeCross.
No.
Sorry, we brought up WeCross again. Okay, sorry. Let me rephrase. Kawaii So. It doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't do anything. But there's a lot of stuff I like about it. The thing I really do like about it, I am caught up on that one, by the way. But yeah, what I really like about that one is, in most of these, like, love story kind of things, both people want to be together, but they don't get together for no reason other than, like, it's time to be contrived.
Just because.
Drama!
Right, yeah. Like Nisei Koi, maybe. Where the characters clearly like each other. We know they like each other. They know they like each other, but reasons. This one is
but
very much...
gangsters.
She is not capable of having a romantic relationship at this point. He knows that, too. He likes her, but he knows that she's not ready either. And that I like. Like... they're not together because she's not ready, but she's getting readier each episode, you know? So you're getting more and more comfortable with her feelings and accepting him as he is and et cetera, et cetera. And it's not like she dislikes him. It's just she hadn't seen him that way to start with. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, like I think that. I like that. I don't think it's going anywhere, but I like that.
I like Slow. I think Slow is fine for the way we do romance anime. I think it's fine. Only because I love Community. Though,
it depends on how slow we are and for how long it continues being slow.
Right. But we do have major steps. Like, that's the thing. Like, the whole confronting the horrible, horrible middle school friend in the restaurant.
Yeah. There's progression, sure.
Like, that was major progression.
You compare this character at the first episode to the last episode, and there's a clear difference.
Yeah.
And that's important.
Yeah. So, yeah, no. It's, again, I don't think it's great, but it's certainly not hard to watch. I mean, I enjoy watching it every week.
Yeah.
And I do. I legitimately will some days not watch what I have scheduled usually to watch and be like, I'm going to watch this instead. I feel like being happy today.
So it's a go-to happy show. I know that feeling. I've got those as well. So that leaves me with my crazy prophetic picks. So
Let's see how long I
went on a limb here. Which ones? I'm not a big NECA fan normally, but when you see a show like M3 being, you know, staffed by someone like Akada Mari and the director of Aria? I can't remember. Juinchi? Sato Juinchi, I think it's pronounced. It looks good on paper. I was like, yes, this is it.
Okay, M3 is done by the director of Sailor Moon, the writer of Anohana, and the mech design of Kawamori, who did Macross. And
good old Kawamori.
That's good credentials.
That's a freaking dream team. That's what that is.
That is a dream team for a mecha show.
And on paper, I'm just like, okay, this looks good. You know what? Maybe... just get into it, you know. Just get into it. And personally, right? I know. I think Richard, you love it, actually. You love every episode so far.
Well, me, I'm other than being depressed, yeah.
Yeah, okay, but you're getting it, you know. For me, I find it that, like, maybe because I'm like not a big mech fan, so it's probably what's holding me back, but I think there's a lot of fluff and genericness in, like, for the mech's part to get to the really good stuff, like the actual core, like the characters and, mm-hmm. you know, the themes that they want to talk about and just exploring the characters themselves. It takes a lot to get there. You got to get through all this, like, mech crap, I feel like. And, you know, there's all this, like, really random scientist crap that doesn't really, like, correlate. I'm just like, until they drop the bomb, which is, like, episode 7, I think?
Yeah, gosh. Like when that happened, like, I called it at the beginning of that episode, right before they did it. But I was like, the moment I realized it, when the second unit shows up, I was just like, oh, this is horrible.
The calling, like, when Emma was calling after her fateful, after her final efforts, it's just like, is it happening? Is it actually now making sense? And it took a while to get there, because I thought, personally, it's just like, Jesus, these episodes are hell, but you know what? Gotta stay true. Gotta get through
like,
this.
I really like M3, but it is torture. Like, it is...
Yeah.
It is psychological torture. It just gets... Like, it's not... It's made to destroy you emotionally. Like, that's the point of the show.
Yeah,
it's like Anohana that way.
Yeah, I think, like, at the moment, I'm not just as invested as you are, personally, but I am still invested a little bit, you know? It's finally, you know, kicking in me, so, like, I'm finally feeling it, but it took me a lot of time, so for me, I was just like, Jesus, takes a while to enjoy, but finally, once I got in there, it's like, finally, yes.
Once they show you the twist,
yeah,
let you know, like, where it's going.
Jeez, yeah. But sadly, no, that was like 6 episodes. That's a long time. But I think it's 2 cores, so maybe it's
it is.
Gets a pass on that. So yeah. So that was one of my picks. And then I had Saw It or Not.
How'd that go for you?
I love that. Right, look, I don't care. People are people are bashing because they're like, this is not Saw It. Oh, what am I doing? I was like, no, look, it says in the title it's not. If you know this original source, it's just a slice of life movie sort of show, granted with some aspects of the original. And I was like, yes, I want this. I want to be back in the world that I loved, or I really like, which is the Saw It world. And it's great to see all these cameos of, like, people you didn't even really care about in the anime, like Kim and Jacqueline. You get to see them again. Oxford and others. I can't remember. Jesus, there's so many. See Stein and Sid, human. Well, still human anyway. It's like, yes, this is great. It's great to see all the characters, and especially the main characters, where the beautifully cameos done. Like, obviously, the Thompson sister, because they didn't really get much of a backstory, if I remember. In the actual airing, so it's great to see their backstory. And then, you know, the small cameos you get from both Black Star, Maka, and Death the Kid. So it's great to see. It's just basically a great injection of the Soul Eater universe that we all kind of missed, I think. And it's still great. And plus, it's still pretty moe, so I went on both ends on that thing, on that side, I think. And that was one of my picks, and I think it did pretty well. And then there's Haikyuu. Reasonably generic sport anime, you know. What do you want, really? But absolutely stunning production quality. I didn't expect it from the animation I think it's Hinata? No, I think that's his name. When he goes for the spike and they do that brilliant black and white spear strokes, great. The art looks good. Everyone looks fantastic. I guess that's for fan service, I'm not sure. And just the amount of money and care they put in. Like, you know, the segments between each halves of the anime, so where they do the breaks?
Yeah.
They do this short little animation where people do a serve. They try to hit a water bottle on the other side of the court, and then they miss, and they see, like, some comedic effect, or you just see other crazy stuff happening. It's like, yes, I love it. They care about the show, and they give us these little bits that I want to see. And I think it's great anime in the sense that if you want a good, solid sport anime about volleyball, that's what you get.
This is the other show I was looking forward to, but didn't mention because I was leaving it for you.
Oh, I thought you were talking about ping pong as well, but hey.
Well, no, ping pong too, Haikyuu is really good too. Actually, I think it's been getting a lot better. Like, it sort of strayed away from some of the typical stuff, which actually surprised me a bit. I thought it was just going to be Kirko's basketball in volleyball form.
not so much. Thank God they're not shouting the special moves in English, which they can't pronounce, obviously. But the only funny thing I find in the show is that, you know, when they're talking through the net, their face actually goes through the net. I know it's meant to be so you can see the face, you know, and the emotions on their face, but it just feels weird. Like, the body, like, the rest of the body's behind the net, so you see the net, but then their face is, like, clear. You're like, Jesus, what's happening? But I know it's meant to be for effect. But yeah, those were my picks at the beginning, and I actually enjoyed most of them, but the one I would pick ahead of time, well, in present tense now, Ping Pong, like Marcus said, which has already been said and done. Sawyer Knot, I've already said, because it's just why it is. I wanted it. And I know you guys aren't particularly happy about enjoying this show, but I love Captain Earth, right?
I like Captain Earth.
All right, but like, a lot of you guys, I remember saying it breaks a suspension of disbelief on how quote-unquote crazy it can be.
Yep.
You know, the launch sequences and why
way too bones for my
the
taste.
Libido energy they must steal, all this crazy stuff going on. And granted, it's hard to get through, but I think I can still suspend my disbelief.
I got through Eureka 7 AO. I can get through Captain Earth. It's just a question of liking. We'll see.
It's visually gorgeous.
It's gorgeous.
Just like Eureka 7 AO.
It's for me, when I watch a mech anime, the reason why I get put off so much is because all done CG. Well, the ones I've seen anyway, I just don't like it. This is all, well, it's most of it anyway, like 10% of it is like probably CG, like the launch sequence at points. But during Captain Earth, like the actual everything, like from the just the flames from the jet engines and everything, looks gorgeous. I'm like, yes, this is what mechs should be, I feel. And characters are great. Characters are just fun sides as well. So that's what I would pick. Definitely tell people to watch as well. Captain Earth, absolutely solid fun. But yeah, that's with us and our foolish attempt to try and pick what we might enjoy.
I did the best.
In your opinion.
Yeah.
But hey, do you know what's fun? Doing it again, because it's summer soon, guys. Well, actually, it's like summer in about a week's time, right?
Starts actually this coming week.
Even better. And so let's start with Marcus. You do your summer picks. What do you think you'll enjoy the most?
Okay, my picks right now are Akame ga Kill, Barakamon, and Zankyo no Terror.
Want to tell us a little bit about each of those?
I was going to get to that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I just felt like I list them all at the beginning. Akame ga Kill is about... Like, I don't really know much about these shows, except for, like, what I've seen from the PVs and stuff.
Yeah, there's not much. Got me excited. There's not much out about these yet. We haven't seen the first episodes or anything.
I mean, granted, we could have read the source material, but, you know, we don't really...
But that requires reading.
No one's getting paid to do it for this, all right, guys? So, you can do it if you want.
Yeah. All right, continue, Marcus. Anyways.
Akame ga Kill. I've been hearing that it's, like, the opposite of... irregular at Magic High, in the sense that the main character sucks a lot in the beginning and isn't all powerful, and that like any character can die and stuff like that, which is nice. And it's by White Fox, which is also responsible for one of my favorite shows, Katana Gatari. So I mean that and Steins Gate, by the way.
Scrumptious shows.
So I mean, with those two under their belt, I mean, how wrong could they go?
Yeah.
Barakamon is a slice of life comedy. It's another fish out of water one. It reminded me a little bit of Silver Spoon in its synopsis, which is why I picked it up. It's about like a calligrapher that gets sent to like a rural area for punching a better calligrapher in the face.
As you do.
And then you know, he's with a bunch of like hicks and hilarity ensues. Hooray. That's all I know about that.
Yeah,
I don't
it's
know
also
if the manga is that popular.
I don't think either.
Yeah, it's like
it's Jidai
Geki times. Yeah. Yodi.
Yep.
That's what I like.
Hopefully it can fill the hole in my heart that's going to be left by Kawai, so. That's what I'm hoping for. And then Zankyo no Terror is probably, my guess is going to be one of the most controversial shows of the season.
Possibly.
Because looking at the thumbnail, I'm pretty sure that it's showing 9/11.
There is a reason for that. The building that's in that thumbnail does exist in Tokyo, but the imagery
doesn't help.
it's gonna
looks like 9/11.
Oh, is it the Shinjuku governmental building?
Yes, it is. Yeah, so okay. Both of the towers are on fire in a similar manner to 9/11. So. All it takes is one news reporter looking at this thing and suddenly making a controversy to make this, well, a controversy.
Yep.
Yeah, well, it's probably just a subject matter in general. It's about, like, terrorists. It focuses on terrorists.
As long as they don't make too much light of it, it's going to be fine. But if they try to make light of this, this is probably going to be...
I say there should be no bounds in creativity. I hope they just go full out. Like, I hope that, like, not in the sense of what you say, but like, I hope they don't restrict themselves into their storytelling. Like, I hope they don't like care about what people might think of what they're gonna write. Like, I hope they just, you know, go fully develop and flesh out what they've intended to do from the beginning and not change course because they might be scared of what some news report might happen. Mm. Granted, if it kills sales, then, you know, from a business aspect, don't do it. But hey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
Right. That's it. So I'm a pick. Hopefully you're right, Marcus. I mean.
Well, oh, I hope so.
You seem
pretty good okay. ones.
David, you think you're 100%? See what you got this time there for some.
I don't know about 100%. We'll see.
That's what you keep saying. For your
The thing about my picks are, I don't necessarily think these are going to be the greatest out of the season, but I think they'll be enjoyable.
Yeah, we're looking for shows we want to enjoy. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. So, first up, I got Glasslip, which is a slice of life from PA Works, and PA Works is the same people who did Nagi no Azucar.
Don't forget,
yada, yada,
it's
yada.
An original. That's why yes. I love about PA Works. They always do original. Well, 80% originals.
They like their original stuff, and they like their slice of life, and they like that sort of thing. And Rockman Dash isn't here, as you've probably gathered by this point, everybody, but he also has that one down, so keep that in mind. Yeah, it's going to be a slice of life, and it's from PA Works. So, number one, it's going to look really friggin' pretty. And number two, it's going to have at least a little bit of fun in it.
Then heartbreak, and then mostly heartbreak.
Well, because remember,
we don't think of that.
I don't think it's by the girl who did Nagi,
I don't think so.
Three right now. Like a real person.
We need to be happy again. To be fair, most PA Works, I think they always have that really big emotional spike. Like, even in, like, Taritari, Hanasaki Iroha, you know, those shows, there's always been that big emotional, like, spike, and it just like, hurts so much. So, hopefully, it'll probably make us all.
So, I'll see how Glasslip goes. I'm not entirely sure on it. It'll probably be good, though. Probably.
Well, a lot of us will be watching, I think.
Did you want to say what it's about?
It basically, all that you really need to know about is, one, it's slice of life, and two, it's about... The main character is like, makes glass. A family that makes glass. And then stuff happens. I mean, there's not much of a plot to it, to be honest.
I thought she was an aspiring glass artisan.
Yeah, it's a girl who wants to become a glass artisan.
Okay, that's a better way to put it.
Yeah, she wants to be. So it's about.
I'm sure that won't be the main focus. I'm sure that won't be the main focus of the show, but it will be important.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sure it's the setting more than the point.
Yeah, it's a small town in the mountains or something like that. You get the idea. next up, I've got Rail Wars, which is a fun pick, I gotta say, because I don't know if this one is gonna be good at all. In fact, I could be extremely, extremely wrong.
I'm still I'm crossing fingers. It could be the next Working. I'm just hoping, it's been so long, I want it Working again. You know?
Except it's supposedly action.
Let's talk about the synopsis
so it makes sense. It's in an alternate reality where Japan's railway system was never privatized, so it's all run by the government. And the main character is a security officer with this national railway. And that's where the action is going to come from, essentially. I don't know how that's going to result in action.
Terrorists. No, it is. It's a group of extremists who are trying to make them privatize the railways.
Yeah.
In other words, you know what it's going to turn out to be? It's going to be library wars.
Library wars?
Have you never... Wait, am I the only one who's seen library wars?
I've never heard of this.
Read or Die. Die.
Library wars is basically where censorship gets out of hand in Japan, and there's a group that can censor anything. However, that's what brilliant. Forms his opposition is local, like that's the national stance, but the local state-by-state stance allows for like different states vote for a library defense force, where literally inside a library you can have any kind of information whatsoever, even banned books, and even anything that's censored. And so it becomes this literal war, like with military actions, between the prefecture-run, you know, library commandos and the government censorists. And it's it's actually really good. So I hear this and it's like, oh, not library wars, but rail wars.
Basically, the only reason that I'm looking at this one is because, one, trains, because I'm a train guy, and two, because it looks kind of nice, like the animation. Yeah.
Can't go wrong with trains.
Now, I've watched the promotional video, and it's failing...
Oh, God.
I've watched the promotional video, and this series is failing one crucial test. Within the first 10 seconds, fan service hit me in the face.
Uh-oh.
That's how you will lament, sadly, apparently, according to the people...
Yeah, but it failed the 10-second test. I'm not liking it. The 10-second test has actually worked quite frequently in the past with me. If fan service shows up in the promotional video within 10 seconds,
to be fair,
it's not going to be good.
15-second PV.
No. The one that I watched was a minute.
Oh. It was like a minute.
Oh, okay. I saw the 15-second one. I was like, eh, can't see that much difference.
It was enough to make me not want to watch.
Yeah,
the show.
I showed everybody beforehand, and everyone was like, whoa.
I got 5 seconds in.
Yeah, so we'll see. We will see. I'm not sure here.
All right.
Yeah. And then the last one is Shirogane no Ishi Argavolin, which is a mech show, and it might be kind of like Gundam, but honestly, we don't know much about it yet, so I can't really talk about this one.
Yeah.
We'll see.
It's the people discover a... never mind. Wait, Argavolin. Oh, yeah, it's a new weapon, mecha weapon. Yeah. That's pretty much all it is. It's like war going on. New mecha appears.
Real robots, big, super powerful mecha, Gundam, Argavolin. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
We'll see.
Right. I think it's my turn. Let's see if I can get three right and three for free. I picked some reasonably interesting ones, I think. I definitely, especially one solid one. But anyway, so my first one was Tokyo Ghoul, the labeled horror anime, and, anyway,
we'll
this
see.
Anime is about.
We'll
yeah,
see.
Yeah, right. So essentially, the story is about the setting is in a world where there's beings named ghouls who look a lot like humans to the point where I think we can't distinguish them, but they have to eat human flesh to survive. Okay, and then we happen to follow a student who encounters them and it changes his life forever. And then we follow on from that story. So pretty ambiguous enough to cook you, I guess.
A little more than interested. That. A little more if you want to know. Basically the encounter is to he's dying and he gets a blood transfusion from a ghoul, which makes him half ghoul.
Gotcha.
And that's what
it's called. So I'm interested.
I'm always careful about horror. I mean, the last horror, if any of you guys can remember.
No,
it was another. Oh no, wait. Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
No. Pupa? No. I'm talking about Pupa. What the hell?
Yeah, I forgot Pupa. I forgot that existed.
I
keep thinking about another because that was such a big touted anime.
I actually like that, just not as a horror.
Wasn't it made by PA Works? Actually, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Yeah. That's,
I liked another, but not as a horror. Let's just leave it at that.
I liked another because there were pie gifts and many gifts afterwards that evolved from it. Anyone ever forget them. So hopefully that'll be good. It seems interesting enough anyway. And then there's Tokyo ESP, another Tokyo themed anime. This one seems pretty standard fair sci-fi type show. So we follow a high schooler who has special powers. And I think the one we follow can have the ability to traverse objects.
Yeah, she phases.
Other solid objects, yeah. And she meets someone who can teleport. And then eventually we follow, their story unfolds where they meet other people with powers similar or that can do
crazy
stuff.
Did you hear how she gets her powers, though?
Oh, I don't know.
Sees a penguin. A flying penguin.
Oh, mine said they meet a penguin. So I'm just like, I guess a penguin has powers.
No, she follows a penguin to, the top of, Tokyo Tower. And then there's a flying penguin and some flying fish. And one of the fish flies through her. And then she can phase.
Thanks, Japan.
If this is anything like Penguin Drum, I'm going to be very happy because Penguin Drum was an excellent anime.
I doubt it.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Look, if you're going to have a crazy MacGuffin, you might as well make it a flying penguin in Magic Box.
I love it. But anyway, and so basically these two main characters then, I think, and maybe with other characters, I wasn't aware because I think this might have been spoilery, so I didn't send in synopsis or summaries. They decide to fight, become vigilantes and be all righteous and bring justice to people. Against crime and gangs and protect people from in Tokyo, and that's it. And I'm getting a lot feeling like I didn't even see those films Jumper, Push, and Wanted. Have you ever seen those films?
Yes, I have seen Wanted.
Yes,
I have a horrible.
Yes,
thing
I, have I have avoided Jumper.
I've watched Jumper and Wanted. I'm a bit scared. So hopefully it's not like that. So hopefully.
Let's see.
And the last anime, it's free. Eternal Summer. Now, look, if you've already seen season 1, you need no introduction. And if you're still wondering what it is, It's basically you follow the story of everyone's favorite swim club, the Iwatobi Swim Club, and they do what they love doing, swimming.
No. You said that wrong. They love walking around shirtless. That's what you meant, right?
Look, who swims with a shirt on? Right?
Look, who wears a swimsuit when you're walking to school?
Look,
they do.
Look,
often shirtless.
So it's made by Kyoto Animation, and they focus a lot more on the slice of life, happy comedy sides than the sport side. So, and they'll probably do the same, and it worked well the first time around. So, hey, I think it's going to be great. It's going to be very enjoyable, if you'd like that sort of thing.
Okay.
And Richard, you're last up to bat.
Yeah, I am. Press for time, but
all right.
Yeah.
You got this.
So here we go. My first pick, Sword Art Online 2. I'm a big fan of Sword Art Online. Something I continually get crap for, interestingly enough. But then again, when people quote me, they always misquote me, which is a lot of fun. Which is, they say, "Oh, you said it was the smartest anime you'd ever seen." No, that's not what I said.
What I said was
the first half was the smartest anime I had seen in years.
Yeah,
which it is, still is. Like,
that doesn't change
just because I've seen more anime now. At that time, it was. And it's still good, and it's still smart, and does great world building. And while, I don't particularly like Fairy Dance, the second half of the show,
it's still not bad.
It's not terrible. It's not like the abomination people make it out to be, other than like the character assassination of Asuna. But,
that was a bad big gripe right there.
That was just straight up assassination. The rest of it was fine.
I agree.
Sword Art Online 2 is we're going to cover. At least, we don't know how long it is even, but it's going to cover at least Gun Gale Online. And Gun Gale Online, I like this story arc a lot, because when it comes down to it, it's a direct sequel to the events of Sword Art Online. It has nothing to do with Fairy Dance whatsoever.
It's all about
fallout from Sword Art Online. And
sounds good to me.
And I'll tell you this, because I've read the book, I've read the novel, so I know what's coming. It's not going to blow your mind, but it is a fun adventure.
Mm.
Like
a fun adventure with cutting bullets with a sword.
Well, and that's where it gets crazy. Yeah, that's the thing you got to watch out for, because he can block bullets with a lightsaber. However, I like the world is, of course, just like in Sword Art Online, very, very well built. It's a shooting game, but everything, all the physics and everything are completely correct. All the weapons are real. It's built on being like Arma 3 as if it were a VR game. That's what it is. And
all right.
The way it plays.
So DayZ. Really,
yeah. Yeah, it's DayZ. You go around and you hold people up and make them eat their can opener and, you know, things like that. No.
I'll be watching, of course.
No, but who isn't? If you want a fun adventure, that's what it is. It's nothing profound, but it's all a kind of really cool murder mystery. And the plot is basically Kirito is, as a favor for finding out where Asuna was hospitalized, because that was confidential information, he has to pay back that favor for learning where she was. And to pay back that favor, he has to go and do a popular FPS kind of game called Gun Gale Online. Because in the game, there's a person who will shoot another person in the game, and they will die in real life. And so it's a murder mystery.
All right.
Sounds like a good summer distraction.
Yeah. Yep.
Can't wait.
Next one would be Ald Noah Zero. And this one, it's another one by everyone's favorite. Urobuchi. Urobuchi, who is, Urobutcher, as the Western fans have lovingly termed him. he is the creator of Madoka. He is the creator of Psycho Pass. He is the creator of
Gargantia.
I believe Phantom, Phantom as well. Yep. I might be wrong
and
about
Fate
that.
Fate Zero. Like, so if you know those things, you kind of know what to expect. This is his mech anime, where it's
the second mech anime, right?
Yeah, I mean, Gargantia is not really a mech anime, because it's more like a super weapon dropped into the middle of like modern day people.
It's unfair,
sorry, carry on. Yes, there are mecha, though, absolutely. This one, it's about humanity discovers a warp gate, a teleporter gate, to Mars on the moon. And So they colonize Mars, and now it's about a war between Earth and Mars. And that's all
Sounds familiar. That's all we know about it. It's been going on for years.
But yeah, it's like the Apollo 14 or 15 astronauts landed on the moon and found this warp gate. And so at that point, history diverges. And yeah.
It's going to be fun. We'll see.
And who knows? Like, I'm really like that's the thing. You never know what to expect with one of his anime. That's kind of the point. You know, you go in and everything's normal, and then suddenly he pulls the rug out from under you and laughs. So
I think I'm going to channel a bit of Rock and just kind of say I'm interested. However, I'm apprehensive about it.
I'll wait for you guys to say whatever's good or not, and then I'll catch up.
Well, I mean, Rock has already made his view on this writer and director and all of that
Known. Yeah, of course.
And I kind of feel the same way as him.
Really? I don't feel let down by it, because even if he doesn't have a twist, I still like the stories, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think
it's not like M. Night Shyamalan, where it all falls apart if you take away the twist, you know what I mean? No twist, no movie, right? But at least with these, like, even if Madoka had been relatively straight instead of, like, a big twist, it still would have been good.
Oh, I thought you meant like a sexuality for a moment. I was like, what?
Quiet, Ken.
We're not going to talk about preteen lesbians, okay? That's not what this podcast is for.
Mine's like a little bit.
No, but...
bad Ken.
Because, I mean, even Gargantua, like, didn't really have a twist until almost the ending. And even that twist, like, while it's a good twist, it would have been okay without that twist. So, you know, there you go. So yeah, I'm always excited for his stuff. I haven't been disappointed yet. And then, of course, the other one I'm looking forward to is Sailor Moon Crystal.
This needs no explanation.
Yeah, it's just like this. Look, as I was talking to everybody in the precast, this is what I watched when I was a kid. There was one anime on TV. It was Sailor Moon, and then we got the Saturday anime. Which was on Sci-Fi Channel, where they would show either a really terrible anime movie or four episodes of an anime and never finish it. Like, that's what I had to deal with. Fun fact,
Cartoon Network UK only ran this when I was young. It did.
Oh, wow. Yeah, look, this is before Cartoon Network, what I'm describing here.
Yeah.
This is what I watched before Cartoon Network started Toonami.
Oh, yeah.
So,
Cartoon Network UK, it didn't even have Toonami. It was just on, and I'm like, okay.
I'll take it.
But that's the thing. As a person who was starved for anime, and the only other way I watched it was by buying $35 VHS tapes to get two episodes.
That's the stuff.
When that's what you got, like, each friend collects one series because that's all you can afford, right?
Yeah, and then you get together.
And then you can watch Sailor Moon on TV. Yeah, that's a big deal. Absolutely. It's a lot of nostalgia why I love Sailor Moon. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, a remake retelling of it. And although the idea of the bi-weekly schedule makes me want to punch somebody in the face. One episode every 2 weeks so they can stretch it out for a year. Thanks.
That's a long wait.
That is a long damn wait.
All right.
But
I feel bad that I'm watching it because of that. But
Sailor Moon, you know, and it's a remake of the original series. I wonder who the Moon Princess is, you guys. I totally who is she? Who could the Moon Princess be?
I don't know.
I bet it's Sailor Venus. I do.
I don't know.
We can't say that.
Joke's on you. It's Tuxedo Mask.
What?
Yes.
Whoa. What did Chandler Brock walk in the room?
Right. Before we close this out, I thought I'd quickly shout out some of the comments that we had earlier. And surprisingly, we seem pretty solid on what we want to watch. And so first of all, there's AFI. He's apparently the two people. There's like two people in the comment section that were super excited for Space Dandy still, and they were defending. Ricardo earlier with us, R. James from last episode, he's also supporting him, you know, maybe slightly backwards, but yeah, they're arm in arm together, band of brothers, so they're looking forward to Space Dandy season 2. But as I was saying earlier, there's a lot of fences, but people don't know what to watch. People are still, you know, skeptical and, you know, don't really want to jump in yet. People like MWC was saying on Rail Wars and Owl Hari Rai, the other romance anime that would be the really like concentrated romance anime.
Yeah,
their adaptation. Apparently people love that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, he's a bit dubious on which one to pick. He's going to wait for other people to get their previews in and just jump in then. And along with Zagor, X-A-G-O-R, because I pronounced that horribly wrong, I think. But yeah, he's also a big fencer. He doesn't even know what to watch almost from what I read from his comments. So he just so everyone's just like waiting, like for the first three episodes, then they're gonna jump in and all it, wait for like other people just to say stuff about it. So there's a lot of big fencers, surprisingly, and from what I've sounded like from you guys, we know what we want to watch and we seem happy for it.
Yeah, you know? I mean, don't get me wrong. As always, I will watch what I want to watch or what I think looks interesting, and then you know, and then yeah, I'll put up that poll that I always put up of what should I be watching, and it's always
and
funny
then Space Dandy 2 will be right up on top.
It will be right up on top, and I'll be like, well, that's great, but the last thing you people want me to write about is Space Dandy, because last time that happened,
keep going.
I don't think people want me to take the piss out of Space Dandy anymore.
All right. I'm more than happy to keep reading it though if you do. That's just my opinion, my humble opinion. Right. So we're a bit pushed for time. Sorry if this seems a little fast paced for you guys, but hopefully you still enjoy it nonetheless. And we're just going to quickly do our outros now. So, Marcus, you get to go first because you're the special guest of this week.
Oh, boy. I don't know what to say. I'd like to thank the Academy. thanks for having me, guys. It was fun.
Oh, it's great having you here.
Thank you, Ken. I appreciate that. Looking forward to a lot of stuff next season, actually. It looks to be pretty strong. I'll leave everyone with a recommendation for Katana Gatari, which I mentioned earlier. You know why? Because it's awesome. Definitely. You should watch it. That's why.
I agree with that one. I definitely agree.
Same writer as the Monogatari series, if that gets you interested. Hmm. Right. See everyone later.
Yeah, all right, Richard.
Okay. Yes, I'm Richard Eisenbeiss. You can find me on Kotaku.com, where I post import gaming reviews and, of course, anime reviews. If you want to get a hold of me, the easiest way is to go on to Twitter, and you can find me at Biggest in Japan. And that is because, and I cannot stress this point enough, I am the one man, the single, solitary man on the planet, you see, in the whole world, who is just arrogant enough to take that title. So,
brilliant.
Yeah, so that's where you can find me.
I bet you bought that. I bet you bought the URL as well, haven't you?
I wish. No, I don't.
You're just like quickly register it now. Later after this, right. David.
Yeah, I'm David Dex Omega. Whatever. I occasionally write stuff on Anite because plenty of people write stuff on Anite now.
Everyone
so,
writes now. Yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of tend to not post as much as I used to, or else that place would be really crowded. Yeah. I also have an admin on the new Anite sub-blog. You can have fun with that. You can find me on Twitter at Dex Omega. Yep, that's all I got.
All right, and then it's me. I'm Kevin. No, I'm joking. Kevin's not here. He can't do this. I'm Ken. I've been your host. I'm known as Fruity Drinks, or Fruity if I'm lazy some days. I'm the most occasional poster of these guys. Everyone. I'm just like, I'm more of a lurker and just kind of jump in on the comments and have a little fun with everyone. It's all fun. And yeah, hopefully, I'm just saying this now. If you're not watching any summer animes, at least you've got the World Cup in Wimbledon, right? I'm just saying, it's good sports. It's great TV as well. All right, that's been us. It's Anite, episode 4. We've had a lot of fun, right? I can't wait for summer, right? A lot of summer thrills.
Yeah.
Right, so I hope you guys enjoy summer. Enjoy everything else that's going on. Till then, bye.
Goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
See ya. Bye.